live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist.
Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Rome if you want to, Rome around the world.
Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We're in the hot part. 108 degrees, but it's a dry heat. Everybody's laughing. And they're the ones who live here. Actually, no, we're actually having a great time. We're actually getting your map out. It's 36 degrees, 5 minutes north, 115 degrees, 10 minutes west. We are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, otherwise known as, we're at Caesar's Palace, inside Guy Savoy's incredible restaurant. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter at petergreenberg.com. Amazing how this city has changed. And way before even City Center came out, we're talking about so much stuff that's happened that has increased the capacity of this city almost exponentially. If you take a look at how many rooms there are, we did a story not too long ago, what we call the busiest paramedics in the world, and that's in Clark County. Because if you look at most cities, they base their emergency services on the base population of the city. We can't do that here because the base population of the city gets doubled on a big weekend. And if you take a look, many of you know I'm a fireman in New York, and we look at these numbers about how many fire calls we have, how many EMS calls we have. The EMS calls in Clark County are roughly running over 8,000 a month. Now, let's do that. That works out to be 250 a day. And that's really, it's casinos and hotels. And they're the only guys who have unfettered access at any time of the day or night to any casino, any gaming table, anything. I'll tell you a story that happened that I saw happen. We did a story when we rolled with these guys, but I saw this before we did the actual video piece. There was a very overweight guy playing craps. And it was a crowded table, and the casino was jammed. And he was rolling the dice, and he was winning, and rolling the dice, and he was winning. But every time he rolled the dice, he'd blow on the dice. He'd blow on the dice and roll the dice, blow on the dice, roll. Next thing you know, the guy suddenly collapses, and he's out on the floor, unconscious. And the guy must have weighed 300 pounds. I mean, this is not a small guy. They called the paramedics. They rolled. And by the way, when we rolled with the paramedics, we were driving on curbs. We don't stop for anything because the strip can get so crowded at night. They come in with all their equipment. There's this guy lying on the floor, and they try to assess the situation. They're not getting a pulse. They can't revive him. They ask the guys, what happened? He said he was just blowing on the dice, and one of the paramedics got wise, said, lift him up. And it took three of them to do the Heimlich maneuver, and guess what? Out of this guy's mouth comes the dice, and they go flying onto the table. Now, you can't make this up. They go flying onto the table, and I think he made his mark, and he lived. I mean, and the most amazing thing is while they were doing this, all the other games continued. Nobody stopped. Now, here's the good news now. Because people got smart, the fire department here in Clark County, a very good program, trained all the security guards at the hotel on how to do CPR, how to operate the defibs. Now they have defibrillators on wall-mounted opportunities every, like, 60 feet. And every security guard at the casino is trained in this. So this is not exactly you're going to find this in the brochures in this town. I guarantee you will not find this in the brochures in Las Vegas. But I will tell you, the best place to have a heart attack right now in America is Las Vegas, especially if you're in a casino, because the response time is less than a minute and a half to 2 minutes before somebody is with you with a defib, before the paramedics even roll from the fire department. How cool is that? Now, we need to get more convention centers to train their personnel. We need to create training programs for resorts. Here's the interesting thing about defibrillators. There was a guy, I forget his name, but it's a great story and it's worthwhile repeating. There was a guy who's just a passenger on American Airlines who lobbied the airline for years to put in defibrillators on airplanes and to train the flight attendants on how to operate them to save lives. And nobody would do it. Nobody would do it because they're worried about liability. Finally, every state passed Good Samaritan laws that basically, you know, there weren't any liability issues. If you were actually giving aid in a situation like that, you couldn't be liable. And so they put them on the planes. Here's the irony. Once again, it comes under the category of you can't make this stuff up. The very day they put the defibrillators on American Airlines, this guy was a passenger on the plane and had a heart attack. And the flight attendant saved his life. You can't make it up. How cool is that? So if you're listening to this show and you have a convention center in your community, ask your elected officials, are the people who work there trained in CPR? Are they trained in how to handle the defibs? And by the way, the defibrillators now give you audio commands. You can't mess up. If you take out a defibrillator on a Qantas airplane or an American airline and you activate it, there's a voice-activated command that tells you every step of the way what to do. You cannot mess up. But the point is that if you don't have them on the plane, you can't help anybody. So when you have a medical emergency like that, people forget. You're at a resort. You're just as likely to have a medical emergency as you would at the office or playing in a softball game. Communities need to take more responsibility and do the right thing. And Las Vegas gets a big shout out, at least in the area of defibs and EMS training. Now, all the guards here may not be EMS, but they are CPR trained, and they're trained on how to use the defibs. And you'll find this at almost every casino and hotel in Las Vegas. Very cool thing. I just wanted to mention that because I wanted to mention that. There you go. Moving on, let's go right to email here. We've got one from Linda in Trinity, Florida. I'm considering participation in a home exchange program using my second home to exchange. Have you heard of any pitfalls? You know what? I really haven't. You know why? Home exchange means everybody's on their good behavior because you're staying in their house, they're staying in your house. The pitfalls happen if you don't practice full disclosure and let them know what constitutes your definition of a bedroom, what constitutes your definition of a front lawn, what constitutes your definition of a pool. You got to get to a mutually agreeable definition of terms, and then guess what? Home exchange programs work. Here are a couple for you. LuxHomeSwap.com, HomeLinkUSA, ExclusiveExchange.com, and here's one that's interesting, Diggsville.com. Hey, baby. Want to exchange your home with Diggsville.com? Well, it's out there. But you know what? Theft and vandalism, very rare. People are really on their good behavior, and they should be, because you're staying in their house, they're staying in yours. And the best part of a home exchange, for the first time probably in your own experience, you get to immerse yourself in local culture, you get to live like a local, you get to eat with the locals, you get to eat at home, you get to buy at the local grocery store. You're not necessarily getting hosed at an expensive hotel in the city. And if you pick a place that one of the questions you need to ask always, if you pick a place that's outside the major city, just ask about mass transit, if they're near a subway line or a train line or a trolley line or a bus line, so that if you want to go down into town and go to see the museums and everything else, you can. But I'm a big fan of it. If you go to our website, petergreenberg.com, we have a comprehensive list of all the other websites that do home exchanges. When we come back, we'll be joined by Robert Reed, the U.S. travel editor for one of my favorite publications, Lonely Planet, on a couple of places you've never thought about going, but you just might want to consider. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Guy Savoy's restaurant right here at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. Getting your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You know, it's interesting when you think about what's going on in air travel right now. We're dealing with some serious issues of capacity. You're going to see this throughout the summer. And here we are in Las Vegas. It's one of about three or four destinations in America that when airlines cut capacity, they do it here first because they're not considering Las Vegas a high-yield business travel market. They're considering it a low-yield leisure market. So they pull out flights from Las Vegas, from Hawaii, from Fort Lauderdale, from Orlando, and yet everybody wants to come here. So if you noticed lately that all your flights are full to Las Vegas, and mine certainly was last night, that may be one of the reasons. Now, here's a question for you. What does the Trans-Siberian Railway have in common with the Nebraska Panhandle? What does Vietnam have in common with New York City? My next guest knows the answer to that because he's written about them all. He's been there. He's the U.S. travel editor for Lonely Planet. His name, Robert Reed. Hey, Robert.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I mean, is it true? I mean, when you fly lately, don't you realize every plane's full?
Yeah, that's what it's been like for me. The thing is if you look at the airfares like from a year ago, they're up. People are still flying.
You know what the airfare is right now? The round trip from New York to Los Angeles. A year ago, you could get it because Virgin had lowered the fares on the market to $109 each way. With taxes, you could probably get it for $258. You know what it is today? $700.
That's
round trip New York
more.
To LA
I'm
coach.
Pretty good at math. That's a little bit more. Too much.
It's a little bit more. And what they do these days, it's a much more special experience. They show you a photograph of the food they would have served you.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I don't know if you saw that recently with the FDA inspections of the airline.
Yes, about
catering.
The food,
it makes
yes.
me want to take my own picnic on the plane.
Well, look, let's face it. The words airline food could be considered an oxymoron. Airline food is, by definition, always reheated or recooked at least twice. They can't maintain moisture content. And, you know, when you're on a plane, I'm trying to be an educated traveler when it comes to food. I don't always succeed, but when you're on the plane and they give you a choice between chicken or salmon, you know the chicken's coming from some farm that where they're raised, you know, 85 to a pen, and you know the salmon is farm-raised, and I try to not have farm-raised salmon. I try to order, you know, free-range salmon, I suppose they call it, or wild salmon, And yet, people don't eat airline food. I mean, Robert, let's be honest here. People don't eat airline food because they're hungry. They eat it because they're bored. You're on a flight for 4.5 hours, and they throw a tray in front of you, assuming they even serve food, and you go, well, okay, I'm on the plane for 4.5 hours. I might as well just consume all of this. And then you do.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Woody Allen joke of the two women, they're at this lodge, and they're complaining about how horrible the food is, and then what other says, yeah, and the portions are so small. You know, it's like to a lot of people, it feels free. It's kind of fun to get the packaging and pass the time. But, you know, to be honest, I kind of gave up on it. I don't eat anymore. I pack my own meals, and I find that I have fewer stomach aches when I get there, wherever
well,
I'm going.
Not only that, you don't want to drink alcohol on the plane. It's the kiss of death. I cheat. I drink, you know, club soda or sparkling water. But even that, the gas will get you. You're always going to retain water, but you want to make sure you keep rehydrating yourself. That's why you don't drink the alcohol. I mean, just basic stuff. Now, let's change gears for a second, because you recently did a piece on the Huffington Post on something that's near and dear to me, and that is why you should visit the Gulf Coast now.
I absolutely think people should. You know, if you look just at Florida, one of the states that's affected, you know, 94% of the people that go every year have been before. And if people keep going and having great trips and experiences that they share and build family experiences with, they ought to go back now because it's going to be a very different experience. These are communities that are based on tourism. And the thing is that many of these beaches, even in places that have been affected a little bit with oil spill, are still open. I was in Pensacola not long ago. Beaches were open. There were some tarballs around, but you could still swim, and I did. And it was such a great experience just going and contributing to these communities, talking with people who are really afraid and really thankful that people haven't forgotten that they're there.
Well, here's a little story that, you know, you say these places are so dependent on tourism. It's not just the Gulf Coast, let's say, of Alabama. It's the entire state of Alabama that's dependent on tourism. And I'll give you a story about this that the governor shared with me, and that is this. Their tax base of funding what we would call essential services, whether it be medical services, education, the schools, teachers, is almost totally dependent on occupancy taxes for people staying in their resort hotels on the beach. So they got a problem right now in Alabama, and I suspect they have one in Louisiana and Mississippi as well, and Florida, because we've got the schools opening in less than a month and a half in some of these places, and they have no money to pay the teachers. They have no money to pay to operate the schools because nobody was going down and staying at the hotels. If they're running at 18% occupancy versus 98% during the summer normally,
right.
they have nowhere to go to get that additional revenue.
Yeah, I think in the thing about it is that, you know, they are trying to make efforts to make it so that he can still go and enjoy the areas. I mean, Jimmy Buffett did a concert there in Alabama on July 1st, even though the beach or the water itself was closed at that point, so that people could still have a reason to go. And, you know, I thought that was a great thing. And there's, you know, Pensacola is actually an older community than St. Augustine. A lot of people don't realize. And it has a great history off of the water. So if you go to this region, there's still some things that you can do, even in the event that you can't get in the water, which many of these places on Florida Panhandle are still, you still can. So
well,
you know what the irony is?
Here's the irony. I was down there. We did the radio show from Gulf Shores, Alabama, a couple of weeks ago. The irony is most of the people who go down there for the summer don't go in the water anyway. They're in the pool.
Yeah. You see that a lot. And obviously you can still go there. And, I met a number of people that had traveled from all different parts of the country that were still going. And I asked them, hey, your family is there in the water. There are some tarballs that are reported around here. There's one right over there on the beach. Are you not afraid? And they said, no, we're not afraid because there's people around here cleaning it up. And we thought it was an important lesson for our kids just to come. I thought that was a powerful thing that was said. And I joined them. I ran right out there afterwards.
Well, the good thing about true ecotourism, not to mention volunteer vacations, is it's actually a movement, and more often than not, that's led by the children, and they're dragging their parents.
Yeah, the thing about it, I have to say, despite all this, is make sure you have the right information, because some of these places, they could get to a situation where you can't go to. You know, when you have a case where there are some toxic fumes or something like that, that's a different scenario. But right now, there's kind of a little bit of a gap in information of how it really is on the ground, and taking your kids and going and having that lesson. There's even some volunteer efforts that people are doing on a grassroots
level. There are volunteer efforts. And if you go to our website, which has an amazingly imaginative name, petergreenberg.com, we list all the aid and relief organizations working in the Gulf right now. Now, surprisingly, so many of them are controlled. I have trouble getting into this, but they're controlled by BP. And the thing
there's a couple ways that volunteering is happening. One is that volunteer, kind of with quotes, they are BP crews, and there's a number of, you know, there's different agencies, you know, like the National Park Service and other Department of Homeland Security, for example, and others. They're all part of this effort, and they are actually paid workers. And for some reason, they're a little cryptic about that. They call them volunteers, but they're actually paid workers, and you see them wearing, like, fluorescent-colored vests on the beach, and they were very prevalent in the places that I was at that had the tarballs, and they were cleaning it up. And, in fact, I found some netting that had been contaminated with oil that had broken off from offshore, reported it to one of them, and they took care of it. So that's one aspect. But also some national park services and some communities are having pre-beach cleaning. So this is a little further down the coast, places that haven't been hit yet. They're cleaning their beach beforehand so that there won't be extra debris that's affected with the oil when it comes. And then the other thing is just like what I said, expand their eyes and ears, look out for things, and report it so that they can take care of it themselves.
Well, for example, on our website, we even list places like the National Audubon Society, which is asking for people who just want to be bird watchers to come down there and track the migratory patterns of a lot of the seabirds to see what's changed because of the oil, because that could indicate more trouble than we even knew about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the response that you're seeing from those that are going. And I talked to so many, in particular, National Park volunteers from all around the country that are going and doing that and chipping in. This is a time, these are communities that were affected. They're just getting over Katrina. You know, and if you look at the Oval Office speech by Obama, he talked about, one, stopping the leak, two, making sure it doesn't happen again, but also making sure that this Gulf Coast recovers. And the best way to do it is minimize the damage by going and kind of contributing to these communities now. And I think that they're, you know, volunteering and staying in the places, filling up a tank of gas and going there, not ignoring them now before it's too late.
I totally agree with you. Robert Reed, the U.S. travel editor for Lonely Planet, with a report, because you were down there, you saw it for yourself just like we did. The time to go is now. What part of now don't you understand? Robert, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
When we come back, we get into an area that's really known as a brave new world for me. That's right. Email, mobile, phone apps. I'm so lost. But maybe I'll be found when we come back, right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. I'm relatively new to embracing email. I have a couple of admissions to make. As a matter of rebellion, in each one of my homes, I actually still have at least one rotary phone. You know why? Because when the power fails, they work. I'm a late adapter. I do not have an iPhone. I do not have an iPad, although I am totally in love with at least one iPhone app that I discovered on somebody else's iPhone called Shazam, the coolest thing ever invented. But you know what? When you have, and this is, by the way, a very fluid count, about 300,000 available iPhone apps now. 300,000. That's tough thing to navigate. But every once in a while, necessity being the mother of invention, nobody likes to stand in line. Nobody likes to wait. Everybody likes to know where they stand. I suppose the predecessor to this was going to like an Outback Steakhouse and being given a beeper so they can call you when your table is ready. My next guest, the director of email and mobile at Harrah's here in Las Vegas. I love that title. His name, Neil Nariani. Hey, Neil.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
You know, we have social media up the wazoo now. Everybody's Twittering. Everybody's Facebooking. But, I mean, how do you apply that to operating a hotel or a casino?
Well, I think you look at the general trend. If you look at everyone out there with a cell phone, and you think about how a cell phone is used, you might be surprised that people don't use it for voice and phone calls as much as you think. In fact, the average number of phone calls a person makes is about 200. How many do you think? How many text messages do you think someone sends in a month on average?
Well, I don't want to know that answer, but
it's much more, right?
So
we're looking at the phone now as being a tool that people are using for much more than just phone calls. So it's easier to take advantage.
And the phone in the room is hardly being used at all.
It's used much, much less than the apps and the text and all the other fun features that these new fancy phones have.
All right, so I check into Harrah's or Caesars or any hotel here in Las Vegas. What does my phone allow me to do now? Because, you know, the airlines are always telling you now you can actually use your phone to check in online. You can actually check in at the gate by swiping your phone. You know, everything's become a virtual barcode reader.
That's exactly right. And we're looking at using the same capabilities to make that experience better when someone does get to Caesar's Palace.
All right, so give me an example.
Sure. Well, you can go through the standard process and check in online, or you could make your reservation online, get to Caesar's Palace, and wait in line to check in at the front desk. Now we have some capabilities where when you make your reservation online, you can opt into a program where we'll send you a text message the day before you check in. It says, hi, welcome to Caesar's Palace. Looking forward to you arriving tomorrow. Respond, check into this text, and we're going to pre-check you in. When you do that, you get a response back. It's going to send you to an expedited line when you arrive, and your keys will be ready to go. You just grab them and get on going with your vacation.
You know what? I've always equated checking into Las Vegas with long lines. I already have. I always have, right? That's been the problem.
Sure.
One of the big test projects actually happened here at the airport at McCarran, where they tracked RFID technology, radio frequency identification, on airline bags, and they found out they were losing none of them. Because each bag had a distinct radio signal they could actually track.
Exactly.
So why don't you just put RFID on me? No? Okay, fine.
One day.
What about, I got to ask the question, what about your iPhone apps?
And the iPhone apps are, again, it's just adding convenience to the customer's stay. You've walked around the Caesars Palace property. You know that there's a lot of amenities here and a lot of things to do, frankly, over your vacation. So the app gives you all that information that's in the palm of your hand. We want to look at it somewhat as a concierge in your hand. So when you're here, you're going to go shopping. You're going to visit the restaurants. You're going to...
Okay, well, here's my question. Is there going to come a time, and I know the answer is going to be yes, where I have my iPhone, right, and I just swipe it to get into your late night club, or I swipe it to get into... the Bette Midler or the Cher show or the Celine Dion show, because it already knows me.
Sure. And we're looking at capabilities like that. It's funny, but the way that the technology moves.
I guess what that does, that eliminates the will call window.
It would, exactly. And it eliminates, it makes it so much easier for the customer as well. No more handling paper tickets, losing them, forgetting them at home on the way to the concert. There's a lot of conveniences there, but technology changes so quickly that we're working towards figuring out where it's going to end up so that the most people have the right technology in their hands versus...
I just came in from Washington the other day, and at the Verizon Center in D.C., where they, you know, the basketball teams play and they have the concerts, they've now figured out a way to end ticket scalping. It's all electronic tickets with your cell phone, so that there's nobody out there scalping tickets because there are no more tickets.
Sure.
And the scalpers are very upset, by the way. The ticket brokers are beyond themselves because there's no aftermarket anymore. It's all done on the cell phone.
And that's exactly where we want to be in a couple of years. We're trying to find the exact technologies to make that experience exactly perfect for the customer.
Okay, got to ask the stupid question. What's the downside to all that, other than no human contact? Aha.
I can't think of a downside.
I just gave it to you. No human contact.
Well, you'll still have it at other outlets. It just makes waiting in line.
But you know what the outlet will be? I'm sorry. The human contact will be a guy walking up to you saying, "I'm sorry, sir, you have to use your cell phone to get into the event."
And we're all information consumers, so
yeah,
we'll use it when it makes sense for you. And when you need that human contact, this is the city for it.
I mean, listen, I was flying yesterday, and I go to check in and say, "Oh, you have to use the kiosk." And I say, "No, I want to talk to you." "No, you have to use the kiosk." I said, "I'm not going to use the kiosk." And they said, "Why?" I said, "Because I want to save your job. And as long as I talk to you, you get to keep your job and I get to learn something from you." They didn't even understand what I was talking about. You know why? They were too busy texting. I'm kidding. Okay. Neil Nariani, the director. I love it. Best title ever. Director of email. I thought I was the director of email. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Peter.
And we come back. Speaking of email, we're going to answer all your emails when we come back from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. Back right after this.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg coming to you from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to the emails. Karen from Maine writes, "I wanted to plan a trip for our family, 15 people, she says, to New York. I actually wanted to stay at the Ritz-Carlton but cannot afford it. This past weekend, I did find a super deal at the Marriott Marquis Times Square for around $200 per night. Do you have any tips on how we can get a great deal at the Ritz-Carlton Central Park, New York?" Yes, here's the answer. You have to own the Central Park Ritz-Carlton in New York. No. If it's impossible for the summer, we are game for the weekend after July 4th. The bottom line is, even though there are a lot of new hotels coming online in New York, there's still not enough rooms to go around. And as a result, there's still short rooms in New York. And as a result of that, law of supply and demand, the rates are not going to be coming down. But if you can get a great rate at the Marriott Marquis, I would grab it. But the simple reason is this, and it's a really simple reason. Think about this. How much time do you spend in your hotel room other than showering and sleeping? You're not going to be entertaining the entire state of Rhode Island in your room. You are going to just sleep and shower there and pick a place where you're just close to mass transit in New York. It doesn't have to be on Times Square. It doesn't have to be in Midtown. It could even be at the Marriott in Brooklyn. And you're only 8 minutes away by subway to Midtown Manhattan. So that's what I would do. And now here's the good news, though. You mentioned 15 people, Karen. And by mentioning 15 people, there is a little bit of power in numbers. Don't just call the hotel directly. Ask to speak to their head of sales and see if you can cut a deal that not only includes a better room rate, but that includes other amenities like free parking or kids eat free or kids stay free. You're dealing with 15 people in the room. That might be the best way to do it. So that's my advice to you. We have James from Colorado. "I thought about going back to Ireland over the late summer, early fall. However, I fly on Continental exclusively and have found the prices outrageous. $1,200 or more on a 757-200, especially since I flew there over Memorial Day weekend last year for 5 days for $286, including taxes. I would never pay that big price or use my miles for a trip like that or anywhere else in Europe, but I have options. I'm retired military, blah, 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 blah. Is this price ever going to go down, or do you need to opt your firstborn to fly? Well, the answer is this summer, you need to opt your first and your secondborn to fly, because fewer planes means fewer flights, means fewer less capacity, means higher fares because it's high season. I know because we just were over in Ireland, and a round-trip ticket in coach on Delta between New York and Shannon was $1,900. It's pretty outrageous. Same thing for flights to London. Same things for flights to Paris. Wait till about August 20th, and then you will see some fares start to come down, which is cool, for flights starting after about the 10th of September. And by the way, the month of September, that's the magic month. That's the magic month if you want to go to the Mediterranean. That's the magic month if you want to go to Europe. That's the magic month if you want to go to New England. To me, it's with very, very few exceptions, it is truly special, and the rates go down. Kids are back in school. You're retired military. You're not dragging kids around. You can do it then. That would be my advice. Bottom line, though, don't expect prices to go down anytime soon. I mean, staggeringly so, because this is the one time of the year when the airlines are playing catch-up for about 10 years of losses. In the last 10 years, and James, I'm not making this figure up, airlines in this country have lost more than $50 billion. And they've decided that the summer of 2010 is when they're going to make it all back. So there's a reason why the airlines have already generated in the first quarter of this year alone $769 million just in ancillary fees, which represent checked baggage fees. So that you multiply that by four, that's $2.8 billion right there they're bringing in before you ever get on the plane. So that's where the money's going. And that doesn't even count the $1,200 ticket price that you quoted. So do yourself a favor. Wait for the magic month of September. But, of course, wait for the even more magical month of August and after August 20th when they start revealing a number of different airfare sales that will kick in after September 10th or after September 15th. So that's my advice. It's going to be a tough summer unless you happen to own a lot of stock in the airlines, because they're going to report a huge second quarter. However, I wouldn't count on them reporting a huge third quarter. It's the second quarter that they're going to make as much money as they need to get them through the rest of the year. That's the kind of business model they're still flying on. It's wild. When we come back, we're going to talk about a subject I've never dealt with personally, weddings. But we're going to do it when we come back here to Caesar's Palace right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Caesar's Palace here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I mentioned right at the break, we were going to delve into a subject that I have never done, weddings. And our engineer back in Connecticut, Jeff Ryder, screamed back at me on the earphone, "No, don't do it." And you know what? He's right. I'm not going to do it. We're going to just shift gears and talk about spas in general, because you know every hotel, anywhere you go now, wants to tell you they have a spa. And in fact, they don't just say we have a spa. They have to whisper it as if they're like bad librarians. They don't say, "Here's our spa." They go, "Here's our spa. We have a special aromatherapy room." They're like escape librarians. Nobody can actually speak in normal tones at a spa. There was, "Oh, yes, we have special stones." "Really?" "Yes, we do." Well, we don't have to do that today. We can actually speak like adults with Crystal King, who's the director of, I love your title, director of spa, salon, weddings.
That's correct.
In that order.
That's correct.
If you do well at the spa and you kind of get taken care of at the salon, you can get married.
We're one great big family.
I bet you are. Is it appropriate for me to say that if I see one more brochure with a picture of a woman with stones on her butt, I should throw up? I mean, isn't that a little passé now, the hot stones treatment?
Well, we have a lot of guests that like to experience the hot stones, so I think it's still a popular experience.
But that's if they don't pay their gambling debts, they get the hot stones, right?
There we go.
Okay, just checking. But I mean, you got other stuff that I think is even cooler than that.
Well, I think the spa industry is moving past just relaxation. It's also moving towards total wellness. So you want to come in, you want that relaxing experience, but you're also looking for something a little deeper at times.
And what I'm seeing, and correct me if that's not your experience here, but I'm seeing people who will actually check into a hotel and spend a good part of every single day pursuing that in the spa.
Oh, that's correct. The average guest at Quabasin Spa spends over 6 hours just spying.
Spying. I'm spying.
Yes, oh, we're spying now.
Yeah, salmon spawn and we spy. Okay,
that's
fine.
Correct.
Now, one of the things, you know, everywhere you go, you hear the words ka-ching. You've turned that around. It's a new therapy program you've got in the pool called Qigong.
Qigong.
Explain.
So Qigong is a standing moving postures. You have yoga and you have different moving meditation arts. Well, this is done inside the pool. So we use Qigong, which is all standing postures, being that you're in the water. And
hopefully in the shallow end.
In the shallow end.
Good,
that's
just checking.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's a moving meditation done in the water.
Now, I've seen some versions of that where someone actually holds you as well. Like an immersion therapy.
There is. There are, that's called Watsu therapy, usually in a specific Watsu pool.
Okay, now you got a lot of pools here, but you don't have the Watsu pool.
No, we do not have the Watsu pool.
You have the Qigong pool.
We have Qigong, which is done in our Bacchus pools.
And how long does that take?
That class is a little over an hour.
And you're in the water for an hour?
You're in the water for an hour.
Have you done it?
I have done it.
And do you feel Qigonged well?
You do. It's a very relaxing experience done outside, which is what I think makes it unique.
And it's led by a yoga master.
It's led by a swami.
Wow.
Yes, we have a swami.
A swimming swami.
A swimming swami.
Oh, see, I had to do that. I'm sorry. Wow. And because it's almost the same kind of technique, but without that resistance because you're in the water.
That's correct. So it's very low impact.
So here's the question. Is it easier? Is it easier than yoga?
No, because of the water resistance, but it's low impact on the body and joints.
See, I have an idea, and I give hats off to the people who invented this, because they didn't invent it for us. They invented it for people who have a physical disability either a mobility, really, and they invented a life vest that doesn't put you on your back, but it's an vest that when you're in the water, you're either stand up. And I wish more people would understand the wonderfulness of this vest, because if you have an access to a pool, you put this vest on, even though it wasn't designed for you, right? You're able to stand straight even in deep water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can run in place in the water in the deep end without any impact, which I think is like so cool.
Right.
You guys ought to seriously look at that as a different kind of therapy that wasn't started because of a situation that was with, you know, mobile folks. It was with people who had a mobility impairment. And yet it has another application.
Right.
I mean, to me, that would be the best aerobic workout I could think of with no resistance, running in place in the water without hurting your shins, without hurting your heels, without, you know, straining anything. It's almost like gravity free.
Well, athletes recuperating from surgeries use that method a lot.
I think we should use it anyway. I think it's a great, I'm giving you a less than subtle hint here.
Okay,
you get that vest and you get it in the water. I will Qigong my own special way there.
Okay.
Is that a deal?
As long as we can get you to the Bacchus pools, absolutely.
The Bacchus pools?
Bacchus pools.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll do it. But how many pools do you actually have here at Caesar's Palace?
Well, Caesar's has 8 pools. New this year, it's our Garden of the Gods.
Qigong in the Garden of the Gods.
Qigong in the Garden of the Gods.
Unbelievable. All right. Crystal King, I love your title, Director of Spa Salon. We promised you we wouldn't do it. We have not discussed weddings. I love it. All right. Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. But I want you to know, it's interesting. We're going to do this on a future show. We're going to talk about all the different inventions that have a different application than they were started with. We can even start with Tang for the astronauts, you know. But the point is, then everybody started drinking Tang. This guy has such a great application for people to learn all sorts of different movements without that kind of impact. We're going to check out that vest. In any case, that music means we're out of time for this week. For those stations leaving us, guess what? We're all leaving you. We're out of time. But we want to thank Joe Sands, who did the engineering work here in Las Vegas, Jeff Ryder, of course, back in Connecticut, Mike Worrell, our chief engineer, Jordan Whitley, who did the field production work here, Shelley Goncharowski, our lead producer, Selena Haas, who made it all happen, of course, with Marina Nicola. We'll see you guys next week from a different location somewhere in the world. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.